This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's time for Bar None, the sports show that hopes to get you all hyped up and ready to do something active. I'm Audrey Raj. Kicking off the show this week is our power in the house, Synchronet Katrina and Hadi, who bagged 5 gold medals at the 2011 SEA Games in the synchronized swimming duet category.
When we compete, especially if there's prelims and finals, and it takes a really long time to get ready for just like for one event. It takes about like 4 to 5 hours preparation before the event.
Next, get on the ball and up to date on the quirky side of sport. Melissa Idris and I talk about flawless hotels at the Sochi Winter Olympics, Newcastle fans going crazy on eBay, and a special treat for sports fans in KL next month.
The reception in one of the hotels in Sochi has no floor, but it does have a welcoming picture of Putin.
And finally, join a futsal league at Titan Sports Centre with Jason C on Just Because We Can.
Because what we realise is the people in Malaysia, they are so into soccer and people just want to be part of it. Technically, we are catering to those people who can't make it to the pro level. So people like us, you know.
BFM 89.9, this is the first part of Bar None, which is Power in the House, where we usually talk about some successful sports personalities. And today, I have Katrina Ann Hadi. She's a national synchronized swimmer who has been championing in this sport since she was 12. And, you know, she's a triple gold medalist at 2010 Asia Pacific Championships.
Triple gold medalist for the SEA Championships and 5 gold medalists for the SEA Games.
Okay, well, you've said it. Okay, now, are you looking forward for Rio de Janeiro?
Well, I think because like the preparation since like after the SEA Games towards like Rio hasn't really been that great because I was injured and I went for surgery. So I think most probably like we might not be able to qualify, but we'll still try. But hopefully like the better bet is 2020.
Ah, 2020. Mm. But you know, what kind of things do you have to look at in order to be able to qualify for an Olympic?
For the Olympic Games for synchronized swimming, it's kind of a complicated process because it goes by region. So just say, for example, like the Asian region, the European. So you have like North America, South America, then the Oceania. So each region can only qualify, like only 2 duets qualify. And basically only 2 teams qualify. So there are only 8 teams in the Olympic Games and 24 duets. So after all the duets from the team automatically qualify, and then the next ranked swimmers after all those 8 teams, so basically like 8 to 10 spots are already filled, and then you have the rest of the world fighting for the other 16.
Okay. You know, how did it all start for you?
Well, I started off as a gymnast, actually, an artistic gymnast. So I was doing that since I was 5. Then I went into like track and field in school, represented the state. And someone recommended me to try out synchronized swimming because I love to swim and I was also a gymnast. So they thought it would kind of be a great like opportunity for me if I went and tried out to see how well like I could do it. And I guess the rest is history.
Okay. And you like swimming, but were you strong in swimming then? Because you're more of a land person.
Yeah, I was more of a land person. I mean, I like to swim. Like, you know, like mermaid swimming. Like, you know, kind of like underwater, aerial, sea world kind of things. So when I first started synchronized swimming, the swimming was really tough for me. I was never professionally taught how to swim. So I really had to, like, you know, stroke correction and a lot of, like, strength training, swimming training, just to, like, you know, catch up with all the rest.
All right, it's definitely more than just a frog style.
Yeah, you have to be able to do all 4 styles.
Okay, and synchronized swimming is a sport, you know, that requires a lot of training between body, strength, stamina, timing, and being able to hold your breath underwater.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more than that. Yeah, it doesn't generally get the recognition probably it deserves. Does it even bother you?
Well, yeah, actually, it does bother me because, like, I was like a gymnast. Like, I'm an artistic gymnast, basically, like, since I was young. And artistic gymnastics is one of the hardest sports in the world. So I think I would be, like, the best one to know how hard synchronized swimming is, and people come up to me like, oh, it's not even a sport, you're just like dancing in the water. I'm like, oh, I said, okay, that's fine. You come with us, follow us on a training camp for a week, and we see who's the one laughing now, right?
Then how do you stay motivated?
Well, probably because not many people can do what I can do. And it took a really, really long time to be good at what I'm doing. So if to stop now would kind of be like, oh, you know, but I've already put in so much work, given it my all. So it really wouldn't make sense for me to just like give up halfway.
Are you currently still studying then?
Yes, I'm studying at Monash University at Sunway.
Okay, and you're doing a business course, commerce and...
Yeah, I'm doing a double degree, so business and commerce, as well as a Bachelor of Communications.
And I'm sure it's a really hectic schedule for you to study and train.
Yeah, it's really hectic. And then my lecturers are like, oh, you're not in class again. Then I'm like, yeah. Then I'm like, yeah, I've got training camp, or I'm in China or something like that. So it's difficult to kind of get like all my assignments in on time and be there for the exam, but I don't know how, but it gets done.
And you're in first year, right? So you have 2 more years to go.
Yeah, I'm in my second year.
Second year.
And I'm doing a double degree, so I have 4 years. Yeah, so I still have 2 more years to go.
What's your routine like Monday to Sunday morning class?
Well, we train Monday to Saturday, so 6 days a week. We usually start training in the morning at 6:45 up to about 9. And then we go for class, like from 10 to 3 or something. And then practice in the afternoon starts from 3 to about 7:30. So that's if we have class. If we don't have class, then usually our training schedule is 8 to 12, 3 to 7.
And your training, I'm sure your teammates or your partners are in studying as well together with you?
Yeah, most of them, I think 4 of us are in university and the rest of them are still in school. Mm. So they're at the Bukit Jalil Sports School.
Alright, so it's easier to match timing with your other teammates?
The school students are easier to match because all of them have the same schedule. For the ones in university, we're all in different universities, so it's kind of difficult for everyone to be there at the same time. And sometimes like this, really, you really can't help it because the lectures or the tutorials are like someone has this on that time and this on that time. So we just really, really try our best to have everyone there.
What's the hardest thing during competition?
I think the hardest thing during competition is that when we compete, especially if there's prelims and finals, and it takes a really long time to get ready for just like for one event. It takes about like 4 to 5 hours preparation before the event. Huh. So just for example, if the event starts at 10 a.m., I would have to get up at 5 a.m. because of all the preparation with like the hair, the makeup, and the training. And then you have to touch up the hair and then the makeup. And then you have to train again because you spent time on land touching it up and now you're not warmed up enough to compete. So it's like there's like 2 or 3 like small training sessions that you have to do right before you get on or walk on. So the preparation time is the hardest, yeah.
Okay, so what do you do when you're training in the water? Like before the event?
Before the event, we basically do warm-ups. Warm-ups, a lot of swimming, holding our breath, making sure that we're warmed up enough to be able to do the routine. And then we go through the routine in sections to perfect like any imperfections or make sure the counts or anything that's incorrect is corrected. As well as right before you jump into the water, you need to do like a second warm-up because after the corrections part, we usually come up to touch up our hair and makeup. Mm. And then we go in, do a little bit of a swim, and then get ready and go.
How important is it to be close and know your partner?
Oh, for me, it's really important that you have to understand your partner. You have to understand what their personality is. And most of the time, like what works for her might not work for you. So you also have to understand how each other works. Mm. I mean, like for example, just say if my partner, she needs like a lot of warm-up, or maybe like I do better if I don't, or if I don't like put in all out, like I conserve energy, but it's different for everyone. So you have to kind of understand and give room, like make leeway, like, you know, for like some people are grouchy in the morning, some people are like, you know, like after the afternoon practices, I'm tired, like don't talk to me kind of thing. But you know, it's just everybody has a different style of coping with things. So
okay. Yeah. And I understand that there was some misinformation when the press announced that your teammate Emmanuel and yourself were injured in last year to go for the World Aquatic Championships. Mm-hmm. And you know, would you like to clear the air on this matter?
Well, during that time, Emmanuel, my partner at the time, she was injured. She injured her shoulder. Mm. But I was still slated to go like for the solo, because I was supposed to compete in the solo and the duet. But because it wouldn't really make sense for them to send only one athlete with two officials, because if Malaysia goes, we would have to go with a coach and a judge. So like, I think budgeting wise, it wasn't really like a good situation where it's like you send only one athlete but with two officials, like rather than like the both of us as a duet where we would compete in four events instead of me alone competing in only two.
Okay.
So in the end, the association decided not to send us, not to send me for the World Championships, and said that they would make up for it by going for more competitions this year.
And what are the upcoming competitions or championships for you then this year?
Well, the major ones I think would be like the Southeast Asian Championships. Those are in June. As well as because we have a new team, so we're gearing up for that competition, and as well as probably the Asian Games and the Asian Pacific Championships at the end of the year.
You all geared up for it now?
Well, now we're just getting back into the groove, because we've got a few new girls on the team, and as well as I took like a study break last semester to kind of catch up with my studies, because I had missed quite a lot before that, training and whatnot. So everyone's just kind of like getting back into training, and we're going to have a training camp next month.
What's the current ranking for Malaysia synchronized swimming?
In the world?
Yeah.
We haven't, well, because we didn't go for the World Championships last year.
Yeah.
So we're probably like not quite sure on our current ranking. But the previous World Championships, I think like we were 22nd or 23rd in the duet. I think that's about the ranking. Yeah, because it differs from year to year. It really depends. Like you really have to go to at least like a World Championships or a World Cup to get like your world ranking.
Right.
Yeah.
And are we far off from China then?
Well, in the Asian region, we would probably be like fourth or fifth, like after China, Japan, Korea, and like Kazakhstan.
Okay.
But our level compared to China is very different, because China is second in the world, whereas we are like 22nd. So it's quite a big gap, but they have been doing synchronized swimming for a lot longer. They've been doing synchronized swimming for, I think, like the past 60, 70 years, whereas like synchronized swimming in Malaysia, we're just like the babies, like 10. We've only actually started like in 98.
Just a couple of years before you started as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. You know, what do we need? You know, what do Malaysia need in order to, you know, be prepared and be better at this sport?
We need more people doing the sport. That's one of the major things, is that we don't have a big enough pool of talent to choose from. So that's why it's very limited in terms of the athletes that we have. So we really do what we can with who we get. Whereas if we had like a larger pool of talent, then we would have more talented swimmers to choose from.
One last question. Mm-hmm. If synchronized swimming was never a part of your life, can you imagine what would you be doing right now?
I really don't know. I think I would be doing some other sport. I think I would still be doing some kind of sport. I'd probably still be in gymnastics, maybe, or maybe still in track and field. Or maybe I would just like probably give up, like go join the circus somewhere. Probably go join like Cirque du Soleil, go and audition.
That's hard to get in, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is really hard to get in, but it's kind of like a pipe dream, like somewhere in the corner. Like if I really didn't have anything better to do, right, I'll like go and audition for Cirque du Soleil.
Maybe that have a better future. Okay, thank you so much.
All right,
Katrina and Hadi, national synchronized swimmer working hard towards Olympic 2016. So I wish you all the best.
Thank you, thank you.
So you've been listening to Bar None on BFM 89.9.
Coming up, get on the ball with me and Melissa Idris. This is Bar None on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is Bar None. I'm Audrey Raj. We're on to the second part of our show, On the Ball, where we talk about some of the interesting picks of the week in the world of sport. Mm-hmm. Melissa Idris has some quirky news about the recently launched Winter Olympics in Sochi.
Well, yeah, Sochi's just kicked off, Audrey, and the stories are coming in hard and fast. This week, particularly, we saw a lot about the debate whether or not Sochi is actually prepared to host the 2014 Olympics. Mm. And it's costing them some $50 billion.
Billion,
that is. So this week, reporters have started arriving into Sochi. They're checking to the hotels. And they're facing problems. So they've begun live tweeting some of their really funny but sometimes gross hotel experiences. They're describing some of the appalling conditions in the media housing there. So apparently only 6 of the 9 media hotels are ready for guests. Hmm. Some hotels are still under construction as they were arriving. We're talking about no roofs, missing walls, sometimes no floors, no running water. So you can imagine how funny the tweets can be.
No floors?
Yeah. The reception in one of the hotels in Sochi has no floor, but it does have a welcoming picture of Putin.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. So yeah, they've got their priorities right. Some other interesting tweets from journalists. CNN booked 11 rooms 5 months ago, but they've been there for one day. Only one room is available.
Oh.
Bruce Arthur tweeted, "I miss you, hot water in my hotel. You were great."
I think there was one by Stacey St. Clair. She said, "My hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use it on your face because it contains something very dangerous."
Very dangerous. There was another tweet by her. "On the bright side, I just washed my face with Evian like I'm a Kardashian or something." So quite funny. But in all fairness, these tweets are funny, but the complainers are experiencing some backlash on social media because people are wondering, look, are you just pampered? I mean, people actually have to live in these conditions. So Heidi Moore tweeted, "Okay, Sochi reporters, we get that your hotels are miserable. Why don't you channel that energy into writing about human rights?"
Ooh, okay. Well, in all fairness, you know, the opening ceremony just kicked off a couple of hours ago and we just hope the games go ahead as planned. But you know what? Taking a cue from the Olympic flame that went out 44 times before it arrived in Sochi, I think we'll have a lot more to talk about from Sochi next week. So moving on, Newcastle United fans have tried to get in on the transfer window dealings this summer apparently, but not for the right reasons. Disgruntled fans have apparently put their owner, Mike Ashley, up for sale.
Up for sale?
Yes.
Online?
Yeah, so this is how the pitch went. "Buy one Mike Ashley size XXL for 99 pence with no returns accepted." Part of the sales pitch, he's been there since the year 2007. He's had one relegation during his reign. There's been public besmirching of former players like Kevin Keegan and Alan Shearer. And he's also sold their best players with no investment for replacements. This is all what the fans claimed.
Have there been any bids on the listing? Has anyone actually bid on him?
There's actually been 216 bids, with the highest at £153.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Starting price at 99 pence, so £153,000.
But at least Newcastle fans have a sense of humour, unlike Lazio fans in Italy who have gone to the extent of issuing death threats to the club president. He's received up to 80 phone calls a day after selling Hernandez to Inter Milan. And apparently he also received death threats back in September after failing to sign Burak Yilmaz from Galatasaray.
Wow, that's new meaning to fanatic, right? Don't mess with football fans, I tell you.
Yep. And just before we go, some big, big names are coming to KL next month.
Yeah, KL will host the Oscars of Sport, which is the Laureus World Sports Awards. That's going to be on March 26th. It was originally supposed to be hosted by Brazil, but you know they're already filled to the brim with other hosting duties. They've got FIFA World Cup this summer, then they've also got the 2016 Summer Olympics.
Yes, good news for us, I guess. You know, big names that will be attending: Serena Williams, Bradley Wiggins, Michael Phelps, Michael Phelps' shoulders,
Michael Phelps' feet,
Sebastian Vettel, Neymar, Missy Franklin, many, many big names.
So big sports names, but there's also going to be a host of celebrities. Sean Connery, Eva Longoria, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Morgan Freeman, and not forgetting the Beckhams. Sports royalty indeed.
Let's just wait and see. I can't wait for it. It's next month. Hopefully we can get some interesting stars on our show as well.
Oh, yes.
All right. So that wraps up On The Ball for this week. Next up, learn more about how you can get into futsal leagues on Because We Can with Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9. You're listening listening to Bar None with me, Audrey Raj. We are in our final segment, Because We Can, where we talk about sports or activities that might just be the one for you. This week, Angeline Tay speaks to Jason C on how you can join the Titan Futsal League.
BFM 89.9, this is Bar None, and the last segment of Bar None where we talk about community sports and, you know, something that we can do over the weekend and probably try to be healthier. And for, you know, futsal fanatics too, perhaps those who don't really know about futsal, I have Jason C with me today, and he's been playing futsal for the past 9 years and finally realized he can't be a national player, decided to open up his own futsal court with a couple of his friends called Titan Sports Centre in PJ just last November. Yeah, just, you know, a basic question about what's a futsal game like? Is it, you know, mini football?
Yeah, it's sort of like mini football version. So technically, it's just a game of five-a-side, and we're playing indoors. And basically, some people like, you know, playing in artificial grass, and some they like it on rubber courts.
And recently, the Titan Futsal League kicked off in December.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's what, the final's going to be in the final week of March or perhaps early April. You know, how's the league coming about?
Yeah, it's doing great because, I mean, like, you know, we have like 3 divisions in total. So each division have their, you know, class. So technically, the first division will be, you know, all the better teams will be in the first division and then so on and so far. So they're all doing really great. We are halfway through and can't wait for the knockout round to start.
How many teams in total have registered for this league?
In total, there are 30 teams at the moment, divided into 3 divisions. I do have more teams coming in, saying that they're interested and so on, but we do have to wait it out and for the divisions to for the league, as a matter of fact, to finish first before the new season comes in.
So when's the new season?
We're thinking of hosting it somewhere in between mid-April to mid-May, somewhere between that time, so that, you know, when all the divisions and, you know, the league is done, so we can re-evaluate all the teams and put them into the right divisions.
Right. So evaluation is part of it. And, you know, do the teams need to be qualified to a certain standard to join, or, you know, anybody can just go for it?
Well, technically, the whole point of this league is for the public to be able to join our competition. Because what we realize is the people in Malaysia, they are so into soccer. They watch, you know, EPL, the talent divisions on TV and so on. And people just want to be part of it. So technically, we are catering to those people who can't make it to the pro level. So people like us, you know. So anyone at all, if you're good enough to kick a ball, you're good enough to play.
How about girls?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you know, we encourage girls to play. I mean, like, you know, it's a healthy sport. So we are planning to open up a new division for girls on Mondays. So, yeah, if you're a girl, you can kick a ball again. So just come, yeah.
Right, but say for girls, do they need to come up with a team, or can the girl just walk up to the center and sign up and say, I want to play, but I don't have a team, and you have someone, a team for us to join?
Yeah. I mean, like, we do have, like, you know, girls coming in as teams and as individuals. So we do provide the service of, you know, technically grouping these individuals together and to create a team. So if anyone is interested at all, they can just come up to our counter and we'll try and find a team for you guys.
And do you offer, like, futsal training classes?
At the moment, no. Because we don't have a professional coach, but it's definitely something that we can tap into.
Right. And I also noticed Players of the Month, you know, all over your Facebook. You know, why do you do that?
I mean, like, you know, as a player, you need to be recognized. You get what I mean? So, I mean, like, you know, you play well and throughout the season, you score a lot of goals. Obviously, you want people to actually know you. And that's the whole point of playing. I mean, to entertain and to be recognized.
So Mondays, you might open up the court for girls, and then Tuesdays to Thursdays would be the league for the men.
Yep.
And also Fridays to Sunday are like a casual hire. So, you know, what's the rate like for people who want to hire your court?
Well, it's different when it comes to off, you know, off-peak hours and peak hours. So technically, the off-peak hours would be from 10 a.m. to roughly 6 p.m. And now we charge approximately 40 to 50 ringgit per hour, depending if you're a student. Whereas for the peak hours, we usually charge 110 ringgit per hour.
And is there anything else that happens besides futsal in the center?
Well, it's pretty much just, it's all about futsal, you know, eat, sleep, futsal, just futsal.
And lastly, you know, where exactly is the center located?
It's located in Kota Damansara. So, approximately 200 to 300 meters from Seigi College, if you guys know where it is. And it's really convenient because if you're coming from, you know, the curve or Wanutama, so it's just a straight road to our destination.
Where could we find out more about the sports center?
You can check us out on our Facebook page. You know, just search for Titan Sports Center. Or you can, you know, check out our website at www.titansportscenter.com.
Okay, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And for futsal fanatics out there, if you want to try out this center or if you want to join the league somewhere in May, and this is Because We Can on Bar None. I'm talking with Jason C and BFM 89.9.
And that's all for Bar None this week. If you're passionate about a sport or activity and want to share that excitement with us, please email us at barnun@bfm.my. You can also follow us on Facebook by liking our page, facebook.com/bfmbarnun. Thank you for listening, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.